I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So a very good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes, and joining me in the studio here as we get ready to look ahead to Saturday's game up at Accrington Stanley is Mr. Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, good. Evening, everyone.
You had a good week?
It's been all right.
Yeah, devastated to be out of the old League Cup.
That was nice, wasn't it? Yeah, I completely forgot the game was on. Came out the cinema, saw the score. Fine. Job done.
Yeah, well, I'm never drinking a can of Carabao again.
Have you ever?
No, I haven't actually.
There you go.
But I refuse to get involved with a brand that would see us dumped out of their cup 3-0 by Milton Keynes of all teams. Right, on tonight's show, we will discuss some excellent news today. Another new signing has arrived at the Valley. Arsenal loanee Christian Bellek, defensive midfielder or central defender, 20-year-old on loan from Arsenal. So we'll talk about him. We'll hear what Lee Bowyer has to say about his new acquisition. We'll also hear what Bowyer says about the possibility of there being more signings. He gives us an injury update, which is potentially some light at the end of the tunnel. We will briefly look back at that Milton Keynes game. We'll hear from Johnny Jackson, who was in charge of the team with Jason Yule on Tuesday night, what he made of the performance. We will discuss some stuff from Bowyer's interview last Saturday that no one's actually talked about yet. So it's just about Patrick Bauer and his attitude since the tweets going out. So I think we'll talk about that and Bowyer. What you made of that. And then of course we all start looking ahead to Saturday's trip up to the Wham Stadium, or the Crown Ground to us traditionalists, to take on Accrington Stanley. Not the first ever meeting between the two teams, because we actually played them in the 20s, obviously the old incarnation of Accrington in the FA Cup, but first ever league meeting. I'm looking forward to that. So we'll hear from Dan Jewell from BBC Radio Lancashire. He was a great to come on and speak to me on the phone last night, gives us some great info on Aki. And then of course we will look ahead to the game from a Charlton point of view, once more hearing from Lee Bowyer. But first things first, praying this audio works, and anyone who's listening to the live show will notice that at some points during this evening's show the audio won't sound as good, but by the time we get onto the podcast it'll be fine. During the live show you'll be hearing me at some points holding a laptop up to the microphone, because some of the audio is working, some of it isn't, and if I knew why that was, I wouldn't be in this game, I'd be in the Fixing Radio Studios game. But I'm not in that game, I'm in the Presenting Charlton Live game on tonight's so the first bit we're going to hear is what Lee Bowyer made of our new signing today, joined on loan from Arsenal, Christian Bellek.
He's a good player, obviously. He's got experience. He's played in a championship for Birmingham when he was 18. So, and he's going to be a good addition to our squad. He can play centre-half, can play sitting in front of the back four as a midfielder, so there's a lot of variation to him. He's a good player. Just watch him train for the first time today. Obviously, when I watch him in games, but to see him training with the lads, he looks good.
I think it's right to say he's a player you've been pursuing for some time.
Yeah, Steve Gannon. I couldn't tell you how many hours he's been on the phone for the last month trying to bring this lad in. We knew he would be a good replacement for Ez. Similar to Ez, can play at the back, play midfield. That was someone that we needed and we wanted, and he's a very good player. So, he's going to bring a lot to our squad.
Could he make his debut at Accrington on Saturday?
We'll see. That might be too soon for him, but he has experience, so if we think that it's right, then I'll put him in.
There we go. There's Lee Bowyer talking about our new signing, 20-year-old on loan from Arsenal, Christian Bellek, defensive midfielder slash centre back. What are we thinking, Tom?
It's the right sort of area we need. My experience of him is very limited. I do remember him playing in a game. It took me most of today to find a game, but he played under Zola for Birmingham, came on after Paul Robinson got sent off and made a couple of really good tackles. And I just remember him standing out, and that name just rang a bell when we signed him. But aside from that, I haven't seen a huge amount. We've had kind of mixed players from Arsenal over the years, but some of them have obviously turned out to be quite good. And like Boya says there, he replaces Ezri in terms of the positions he can play, and they're two positions we need strengthening. I think he's played in a back three before as well. So that obviously helps, particularly with the Pierce injury at the moment, and hopefully can support the midfield as well. So I think it's a good signing, but he obviously another one that just needs to hit the ground running because of our squad depth. But yeah, I'm relatively pleased with it.
Yeah, it sounds like Lee Bowyer was quite pleased with the fact that it sounds like he can play the ball, which on the floor, which obviously you don't always get with a centre half, and but he is a defensive midfielder as well. So maybe a more direct replacement, as you say, for Ez, who obviously we lost to Brentford during the summer.
Yeah, I think so. And we talked about it on Sunday's show, although this was more to do with Phillips than Sara and Bauer, but there was a bit of a tendency to be going long, particularly in that first half against Shrewsbury, and it wasn't working. And Bowyer has shown already that he likes to have the ball on the floor. I think that's how he wants the team to play out from the back. And yeah, even the player himself, I don't know if we've got the audio from him as well, but says that that's what he wants to do. So yeah, everyone like that, you know, someone we haven't particularly heard a huge amount about, is going to be a bit of a gamble. I know it was at Warsaw he was on loan to last year and just didn't play because of injuries. So he fits the bill well as a Charlton player if he's getting injured regularly as well. But yeah, I think just it's another body that we've got as cover, certainly. And after Tuesday night, where Bowyer was a bit, not scathing, but a bit disappointed in some of the performances from the younger players, it's hopefully takes the heat off them a little bit and gives us some more support.
Yeah, as you mentioned, he was on loan at Walsall last season for the second half of last season, but didn't actually feature for a single minute due to knee and hamstring injuries, I believe it was. But he was at Birmingham the year before, again, you saw him playing under Zola. He had played 10 times in the second half of the season where he was there, and eight of which were starts. So I tweeted a couple of Birmingham supporters, and one of them said, yeah, he was all right, actually. It's quite interesting as well. You think, like, we're always talking about playing youth. This is someone we've loaned in who is 20 years old, yeah. You remember. But I guess because he comes from Arsenal, we're not thinking about how young he is. We're just thinking, oh, he's come from Arsenal.
Yeah, and the other thing is that people might think, well, he is young, but he comes from Arsenal, therefore he's better than our youth. Even that might not be the case, because we've seen some of the players that have come through our youth system and they're decent as well. And Arsenal have a habit of playing their young players if they're good enough. So the fact he hasn't played for them maybe suggests, you know, okay, he's not a top six or seven Premier League player, but that's not the level we're operating at anyway. As I say, we've seen the likes of Coquelin and people come down here and do very well. Even Mavididi, okay, maybe not so much the second time, but the first time I think he did really well. The second time, I'd argue, was a bit more down to injuries than his actual performances. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him play, seeing what he's got to offer. And as I say, it's another body through the door, which is key, and in a key area of the pitch as well.
Yeah, and as it sounds like, I would say versatility, which is quite useful. I mean, do you see him coming in as backup, or do you think he could come in and really, I mean, who do you see him dislodging, for example, if he's going to come in and stake a first team place?
I think it depends on how we set up. I could easily see Solly pushing out to wing back in place of Marshall, and then him coming in alongside Sarr and Paddy. Or if we've got the three in midfield, then if Aribo and Prattley are there, it'd be worth maybe giving George a rest and playing him in midfield as well. Perhaps that's slightly too defensive for a game against Accrington, who I think we'd be hoping to beat. But maybe in some of the tougher games, or the games against the teams that are up near the top of the table, that could work as well. So I think there's a number of options there. And it being Charlton, injuries are only just around the corner all the time. So if that happens as well, he can fill in. I'd be surprised personally if he starts on Saturday, just because I think he'll probably give the boys that won at the weekend the chance to do it again. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him come off the bench in the second half.
Now, there's a great spot on the Charlton Life Forum earlier from Paddy Hammond. This was absolutely superb. So basically, Christian Bilek, if you very loosely translate it, because I think there's a bit of license between Christian and Chris rather than Christian in English, but his name basically translates to Chris Eagles. So it's like he never left.
That's good, isn't it?
Excellent stuff.
Yeah,
so,
I'm pleased with that.
Hopefully he'll be as useful as Chris Eagles was for us, if not more. Hopefully more.
Hopefully more.
Yeah, right. Obviously, we're hoping he's not going to be the last one through the door in terms of signings. The loan window still open up until the end of August. So Lee Bayer, again, during today's press day, was asked about that. This is what he had to say.
So say you've been linked with a number of loan signings. You've got one in today. Are you expecting more to follow?
Yeah, we need at least one more. Two would be a bonus, but at the moment, let's just take each step as it comes. You know, like now we've brought him in, another good signing. So that's four. It's come through the door now, and they've all improved our squad. Like I said, that we have to be careful. We ain't just going to go after any type of player. There's specific players that we want and that we need, and as you can see, Lowell's had a good start. Practice had a good start. So we've brought in a good keeper to push Deal, and obviously Christian, who's another good player. So I think we're doing good business in this window, and myself, Steve, Jacko, Marshy, we're all working and with our contacts, but Steve has done very well. I have to say Steve Gannon's done very well to pursue this, because there was a number of clubs and that he could have chosen, but by us hanging in there and pursuing it as for as long as, because we could have just walked away 2 weeks ago and just moved on to somebody else, but I have to give credit to Steve. He just kept going and going, and thankfully he's come to us now.
What's the priority now, Lee, so far as bringing someone? Is there one position you're very keen to strengthen?
In an ideal world, another midfielder. I think that's definitely somewhere where we need, because of the demand that I'm asking from our midfielders in and out of possession. We're going to need a bit more cover than what we've got. Young lads are doing okay at the moment, but they're going to hit a brick wall. They can't do that Saturday, Tuesday. Like you see George come off with cramp on Saturday, you know, like. So, I think midfield is our next thing to try and bring in. But again, we have to be careful, because the midfielders we have here are good. So we ain't just going to bring in someone average, because if we choose to rest someone, then the person that's coming in, that's going to be stepping in, has to be on par with that player.
So there's Bowyer talking about, you know, what he's hoping for. I just found it interesting that at one point he sort of says, you know, there's potentially we'll only get one more. I mean, because then we'd still look rather short, wouldn't we? I mean, I'd think minimum you probably need two or three.
Yeah, I think, I said it the weekend, I think at least another three. And I don't think that's being greedy at all. I mean, obviously when the injured players do come back, that's going to make a huge difference. But even with them all fit, the squad's still small, and that doesn't take into account the fact that we are going to lose other players through the season as well. So for me, we probably need somebody else who can play centre mid. We probably need another winger / forward as well. So at very, very minimum, we need two more. But yeah, I would have said at least three, but I'm sure they're working hard on it. He said obviously this one took a little while to get over the line, and I'm sure maybe some of the others are as well, but that's what you get if you're going after the exact player you want, as opposed to just picking off anyone, because obviously there's free agents knocking around and stuff now, but we're clearly going after players that will just make the team better, which I applaud. But we definitely need more business before the end of the window.
And certainly midfielders, of course, now with Jake Forster-Cassie going out, so if Billick is a replacement for Esri, then, I mean, we still haven't had one in for Jake yet, have we?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the thing we're lacking. It showed on Saturday, that lack of someone just sort of turning defence into attack, getting that ball and looking forward and giving people like Aribo the licence to go forward. I think Prattley does it to a certain extent, but perhaps hasn't got that range of passing that we need. So we need someone alongside him that can spread the ball about a bit and get people moving as well, in the same way Cashy and Jake sort of did it last year. So, yeah, we definitely still need a few more. But it is what it is, as everyone around the club's saying at the moment. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this guy gets on first. But yeah, we do need more. How many lone players can we have?
You're allowed five in a match day squad. Okay. So obviously, what have we got?
Two at the moment.
We've got two now, Steer and Billy. Yeah. But I mean, I'm just thinking now. So if you look at positions where there really isn't any competition at all, I've just, off the top of my head, I've gone for left back. All I can think of is Lewis Pager. There really is no one who's going to come in and push him. So unless you're going to go to the youth team. And as we saw, I think the best youth players have probably been given their chance already, and we'll come on to the MK Dons game in a minute, but no one else really stood out as being ready yet. So it is going to be a case of, if we do try and get, I think, a striker / winger is probably one we're going to look for, and certainly a central midfielder. But then you're going to leave positions like left back, for example, where you're going to be extremely light. If Lewis Pager, I mean, you know, I like Pager, I think he's looked good, but he's had his injury problems and it could easily reoccur.
I think it might have been on comms on the weekend. I certainly mentioned it somewhere. I was talking about Page and saying what happens if he got injured. And I mean, we've got cover there in as much as Saar has played there before. He did it really well against Bradford last year. Solly has done it before. I remember when Wiggins got injured, he sort of went in there as well. But I mean, his fitness is sometimes called into question as well. And you're putting a square peg in a round hole with those two players because it's not their natural position. But also, I think, Tuesday aside, I think that one of the brighter parts of the youth prospects is Maskell, who's played out there as well. Did it in the Checker trade really well. I think that was as a wing back. So he, you know, again, he's not someone I want to rely on every week because that's not fair on him. But if Page was to get injured, he could maybe fill in as well. So we have got cover, and a lot of the players at the squad, either through necessity or because they're able to play in more than one position, which helps. But again, it's something that we don't want to do, and it's very much a squad that's set up to be temporary, isn't it? And we know why that is, relying on loan players and relying on youth. So the quicker we can get out of all that and start actually signing a full squad, that would obviously be massive. But until that happens, we've got to rely on youth and loans, unfortunately.
Obviously, Bayer's been talking a lot about insisting that he's not going to bring in someone who's just backup. He wants to go to bring in players who are on a par.
Yeah.
So I guess Steve Gannon, in particular, the scout's going to have his work out to find, because, you know, with all due respect to a lot of land, we've done well so far, it would seem, with our loanees. I mean, we haven't seen them play yet, but generally when a player's out on loan, it's because, for example, Zyro last season, they came back from injury, and therefore sometimes it's going to take them a while to get up to speed, or they're not going to be firing for their club, because you're not going to get a team that's willing to give away a 20 goal a season striker, are you?
Yeah, exactly right, and that's going to be the difficulty. And I suppose the advantage is that, and it's because the window's shut already, there will be Premier League teams that perhaps have players that haven't been named in their squad, or people that they were hoping to get rid of that they now can't, which I think Boya mentioned already, so perhaps they can go out on loan, or they're just trying to shift players. So I think those options will come up, but I think particularly with things like strikers, as you say, that we're going to have to just strike lucky, aren't we? And like that season where we got a beaker in, he scored two or three goals at a really crucial time or something like that. You just have to be lucky, because, you know, we're not going to get someone, you know, a Darren Bent or someone who's just consistently scoring goals at a good level week in, week out, because those players have been snapped up already. So I think the good thing is that for a first 11, we have a lot of those covered already. I know Boya doesn't want to take too many risks, but I think at some point we're going to have to, because as you say, a lot of the good players now have gone.
Right, obviously partly the reason that we have such a struggle in terms of squad size at the moment is because we're suffering a lot of injuries. So I think it's good news today that Lee Bowyer gave us at the press conference in terms of when players might be coming back.
Obviously, you've got Billy Clark. That's a difficult one. That is what it is. You can't rush it, you know. So if it's a week or two later, then you accept that because it's a bad injury. Regarding the others, like your muscle injuries and stuff, I'm hoping to have maybe three back before the Southend game. So all of a sudden our squad will go from struggling a bit to, and then in another week or two after that, so it's just going to keep peaking and peaking. So, but we can't rush him, you know, like we can't rush Tariq. Last thing we'd want is to get him back after being out for 6-8 weeks or however long it's been and then break down again. We couldn't have that. So there's no point rushing him now. It's the start of the season. Listen, like in the playoffs, we tried to rush him back for that and he wasn't himself. And So, but no, we won't be doing that. Not now. Not at this stage of the season, no.
Little chip ball, looking for Lorana Fosu, who's onside. Fosu, edge of the penalty area. Can he get a shot away? He can, and it's the opening goal. Tariq Fosu sprung the offside trap, gets his second goal of the season, and Charlton's first of the evening, and they're 1-0 up here at the Banksy Stadium.
So welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview here on Maritime Radio. Right on Tuesday evening, a very, very young Charlton side travelled up to Milton Keynes to face Paul Tisdale's side in the first round of the League Cup. But I mean, it was a really, really, really young side, other than really from Mark Marshall and Nicky Ajose up front. I mean, it was a very youthful Charlton side, and I mean, even taking that into account, it still wasn't great, unfortunately. And, you know, for a lot of young players who are going to be looking to try and make a name for themselves, I think they'll probably come out a bit disappointed with that.
Yeah, I think they will as well, because they'll have wanted to take their chance. They'll have seen your Lapsleys and Morgan and going back previously, lots of other players as well, making those debuts, Ez and Aribo and Gomez and... I mean, we could list them for the whole show. So when you get your chance in front of the boss, and like he said, at men's football as opposed to under-23s level, you want to try and take it and you want to impress. And as I say, the likes of Maskell and Cummins have come in Checker Trade and maybe even Carabao Cup last year. Lapsley obviously did it as well, and they've done that. And so they'll be disappointed because they've previously managed to do it. But also the other players, you know, they want to grab that chance and show what they can do, and they haven't quite done that. I've seen the goals back. We looked a bit sloppy. I wasn't at the game, but I have seen the highlights, and it's going to be tough. You're a young team. You're up against it. I understand that. But the way Bowyer talks, he seemed pretty disappointed with the way they performed.
Yeah, I was up there, and I mean, especially the first goal, Joe Cummins trying to head it back to Dylan. He got it all wrong, and then the finish was good from Asun Yarni. Beyond Phillips. And the second one, I mean, we just caught overplaying it, really, and didn't keep control and gave it away. And then Watson called home from the edge of the box. So a couple of decent goals for Milton Keynes in terms of finishes. But again, we'll hear from Jacko in a second, because he was the one taking the team with Jason Yule. But it did look a little bit like they were too nervous, even though, you know, Milton Keynes only made four changes, so it's much more of a senior side for them. But it was a small crowd, and you're hoping that if you're going to be eased in as such, I guess this is one of the occasions where it's not exactly a ferocious ground to visit Milton Keynes as well. So, they'll be really disappointed that they did look nervous, particularly in that first half.
Yeah, and I think to a certain extent, I'm not a pro, so I don't know how their mentality works, but I would have thought maybe... You look at someone like Lapsley up at Sunderland, actually you thrive off that bigger environment. So going somewhere in a cup game, probably knowing that the manager isn't too fussed if you go out or not, as you say, a small crowd, people not that interested, might actually be harder for them to get up for it and perform. And as I say, you would hope as professionals they would go out there and they would try their best, and I'm not suggesting for one moment that they didn't, but perhaps it's difficult to really thrive off a big atmosphere, you know, when the atmosphere just doesn't exist. And when you do fall behind so early on to a sloppy mistake, and I mean, it was Cummins' header, but I think the back four as a whole were guilty, because the chasing back was pretty poor, and then it was a good finish in the end. But once you do that, and you know that if you go out, you're probably, the team aren't that fussed anyway, it's sort of, the script's already written for you from that point. But as I say, I'm sure they'll be frustrated. I would like to think that some of them will get their chance again in the Checker Trade. I know we won't be able to play as many of them because of the stupid rules, but if they get their opportunity, then hopefully they'll take it that time.
Yeah, Ben Dempsey made his debut from the start, and he had a couple of chances in the first half, which were half decent. Ryan Blumberg was in from the start as well. Abby Morgan got his first start. Obviously, he's had minutes in the first team, and he was impressive again for me. And then in the second half, it was the first team debuts as well for Kenneth Yao, Brendan Sarpong, we were doing Alfie Doughty. So they'll all take that as an experience, even though it didn't go to plan. Obviously, the second half, we did look better. We had a few chances. Rico Hackett Fairchild looked quite lively, had a couple of efforts, and Nicky Ajose had what seemed like an absolute certain penalty turned away for some reason. And then there was another one which wasn't picked up on as much, but Maloney had a shot inside the air and clearly got wiped out after the ball went, so that looked a penalty for me. But I think we're already 3-0 down at that point, so no one really cared. The third goal, an own goal, I mean, again, you can take your pick out of Joe Cummings or possibly Dylan Phillips for whoever got the final touch there. I think BBC gave it to Cummings.
They did on the night, definitely.
Yeah, so not his best night, unfortunately. But I mean, overall, I mean, I'll put it out there for a three-word review. And Kai Williams just said, "Don't care." I don't care. Valiant says we move on, and also then says squad was depleted. So I mean, no, I personally made it quite clear on Sunday. I really didn't want us to go through, especially now because we've seen we would have been drawn away to Bournemouth. That's what Milton Keynes got. So I really could have done without a Tuesday night in Bournemouth myself. I mean, Jacko said that we could have done with it in terms of just giving some players minutes when they're coming back from injuries. But overall, I mean, just for me, it feels like a bit of a distraction that was unneeded at this time.
Yeah, and I think whatever the state of the squad and whatever we think about the club, you know, as people who perhaps know a little bit more than your average national journalist or whatever, I think we should be aiming for promotion this year. Now, whether we've got a squad good enough to do it or not is a different story, but I think that should be our aim, and Bowyer's made it very clear that's his. If that is the aim, we don't need the distraction of the cup. I said it on Sunday. If we got through, it's a brilliant experience for those youngsters, and just play them again. Even if all of our injured players were back fit, just play them again, because it's a chance for them to play. There's no sort of momentum with it because we're playing a completely different side. We've played MK Dons about 400 times in the last few seasons. So it was of no interest to me. As I say, I didn't even watch it or anything. I couldn't really complain that we're out. As I say, it's a shame that those players didn't have more of an opportunity or show themselves as perhaps as well as they would have liked. But we move on, as you say, avoid a trip down to Bournemouth and focus back on the league this weekend.
Right, so let's hear what Johnny Jackson had to say. Now, if you're listening live, the quality of the audio won't be great. If you're listening to the podcast, it'll be fine. I would have sorted it by then.
I think the young lads worked really hard, but ultimately the inexperience has undone them. I think started far too sort of too much respect, I think, shown to them, maybe a little bit of stage fright, and found ourselves two down in 15 minutes, something like that, and poor goals give ourselves too much to do. Come out second half, took on board what we said to them at half time, which was a few harsh words, and I think they tried to put it into practice second half, and for large parts of it dominated. But it's a big learning curve for them, because this is senior football, and a lot of them it was their first taste, and you know, you dominate ball for all that time, but even then, you can see the third goal and probably MK's first attack in the second half, and we're 3-0 down. So, it's a tough one for them. Pat on the back for their efforts, but that's all you get. You get a pat on the back and you're out of the cup. And, you know, some of them might not get an opportunity for a while, so they have to learn from it. Be pleased with their efforts, but lots to do.
You try and find a positives from tonight. There'll be a couple of players that perhaps looked all right. Albie Morgan, I thought, again after what he did on Saturday, looked quite good in that second throughout the game, really.
Yeah, Albie always goes and tries to make things happen, gets on the ball. Obviously, he's a young lad, he's going to make mistakes, he's going to give the ball away at times. You know, we accept that. What we want is the reaction after he does lose it to go and win it back, but yeah, he's fearless, the kid. He always wants to go and get on it and try and make things happen. And, you know, that's great for a kid of his age. We never, ever want to take that away from him. He's still got a lot to learn, but obviously he could have a very big future ahead of him.
As you say, the manner of the two goals, particularly in the first half, that he gave away there, I guess that's something that they'll have to try and take experience from and learn from.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's tough to take, obviously, young Joe's first senior start and sort of making the error for the goal sort of 7-8 minutes into the game is not a great start for him, and you know, as a young lad, it's tough to come back from that. But they stuck with it. But yeah, like you say, it is things to learn from, because, you know, there's no hiding place at this level of football. They've got to strive towards it. You know, we're playing a side in a league below us, you know, and they're looking to get in our first team, some of these boys. So they've got a lot to prove. The manager's obviously here, he's looking closely to see who might be ready. We haven't got a big squad, we might need some of these lads, but they've got to pass the test, and, you know, not all of them have. Some of them have come out of it all right, and some with a lot to do still.
So five players who got their first team action today, a couple of people got their first start as well. You know, normally you wouldn't quite get that many in a League Cup, and I guess that is just an indication of the size of the squad.
Yeah, it's circumstances have forced our hand somewhat with the size of the squad, and with the injuries that we've got, we can't afford any more at the moment, and it would have been a big risk for us to put any more of our senior lads out, risk losing them for Saturday and then having to go to Accrington with, you know, even more depleted team and squad. So that was the risk that we took. It hasn't paid off. We're out of the cup. We wanted to win. We wanted to go through. I think the next round would have been a good game for us, because we might have had some of our lads coming back from injury that needed minutes in that one, and we're not going to get that opportunity now. So yeah, we've missed that, but it was a chance we had to take, we felt.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
To the centre circle, starting around the opposite way, he's got to his right hand side, Dijkstil, in a little bit of space, Dijkstil, chance to cross, gets the cross in, Gyro's there, just cleared away, but it'll drop to Page, might think of a shot here, Page takes it, into the
top,
what a goal
from Lewis Page.
Lewis Page has been out of action for over a year, came back at Blackpool and only lasted a few minutes. He's first real touch of the game, sees him slam a shot into the top left hand corner, and Charlton
had
the lead.
Welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Great to hear from Johnny Jackson, who of course led the team up in Milton Keynes with Jason. It made sense, obviously, because it was effectively the under-23s. Obviously, other than Mark Marshall and Nicky Ajoze, as we said, Marshall again was interesting because he was getting up and down that right wing like no man's business. Like, we were sat on a right-hand side in the first half. Some of the skills he was doing was excellent, but then just his delivery into the box, it just doesn't happen for him sometimes, does it? And that's so frustrating.
Yeah, I was thinking that actually when we were talking about the game. We barely mentioned Ajoze at all, and Marshall we didn't mention at all. And that's a worry, because we're not slating, but we're disappointed in some of the way the youth team players have performed. But that's a golden opportunity for two of them. Ajoze, who's obviously out of favour with Lee Bowyer at the moment, and Marshall, who, like you just said there, hasn't really impressed at all since coming in. He's had one or two good games and that's about it. So, yeah, you would think that they would try and take their chance. Now, obviously, they're playing with those youth players as well, so it's not like they've got experience quality around them which can help them. But, I mean, they need to be taking control of those games and showing those younger players how to perform, and they haven't really done that again. And again, it's just difficult for us because if they're not going to be part of the first team, I know Marshall has started recently, you want them to be able to come off the bench and make an impact as well. And I kind of look at them, particularly after seeing someone like Albie Morgan come on last week, or Lapsley, the way he's performed, as and when he drops down to the bench, which he will, unfortunately for him, when some of the experience comes back. You look at that bench, I'd much rather bring one of them two off the bench than Marshall at the moment, because they seem to be able to actually change a game. So, yeah, it's difficult seeing those two as a fan, because I expected a lot more from both of them and they haven't really delivered.
Right, it's just something else that I thought we could have a quick chat about on tonight's show. And obviously this time last week we were discussing the fact that Patrick Bauer was still here at the Valley after sending some tweets about, deciding that he wasn't going to renew his contract and saying he hadn't been offered a contract. He's ended up staying beyond the permanent transfer window. Don't forget, he could still be loaned with view to a permanent up until the end of the month, but hopefully that won't be the case. But I thought, he played on Saturday against Shrewsbury, played very well. I just wondered for Lee Bowyer what he thought about the tweets as well, and how important it was the fact that he stayed here at the Valley.
I didn't need to persuade him he needed to stay. The owner said that he's staying. He's not selling it. That was weeks ago. So, but he's here. The most important thing, that Pat's here. And I spoke to Pat yesterday and said, your attitude has been spot on. I understand his disappointment. I've been in the game, because he wants to play at the highest level he can. I said, but now, Pat, he's gone. Now you have to focus on your own career and you have to have a good season. And that's a fact. So he knows that, he understands, and there was nothing wrong with his performance today.
So there was Lee Bowyer chatting about Bowyer. So, and this is important, he says that his attitude has been absolutely spot on since then.
Yeah, to be honest, I wouldn't expect anything less. I think we said at the time that the tweet was probably not necessarily his idea in Genesis. The contract situation is also a little bit confusing, because he was saying he hadn't been offered one. Well, Bowyer said he had verbally. The agent had said he wouldn't sign it, so they hadn't bothered offering him one on paper, which again makes perfect sense. So and I thought, okay, I thought he looked okay against Shrewsbury. I wouldn't expect anything less. He made it clear in the tweets that went out that although he perhaps was looking for a move away, he'd give everything while he was in a Charlton shirt. I would suggest that he's done that pretty much since he came in, whenever it was, three years ago, was it now? So yeah, I'd expect him to do the same. I think we all obviously now know that he's not going to be here next year. But he's, again, if I go back to our hopeful aims for this season, he's got a chance to be a part of that. And any player's going to want that. And obviously, if he does want to get a move, then he's going to need to impress to show whichever club that he's worth taking. So
yeah. I just hope that the fact that this Bilic has come in today and can play at centre-half, and as I said, whilst the loan window is still open, it's perfectly all right for EFL clubs to loan a player to another club, and then with a view for a permanent signing in January. So we're just hoping that the owner sticks to his word on that one, because we really can't afford to lose him.
Yeah, I see a few Blackburn fans tweeting today saying that because this guy's in, then Bauer's going to them, because I know he was a target for them already. But yeah, I agree with you. He has to be. We can't live on this one in, one out at the moment. Every person in is needed, and that's without someone going back out the door as well. So I hope that's the case as well. I think on your average game, with everyone fit, it should be Bauer and Pierce at the back. If you're playing three at the back, then Billet can slot in there. And if not, then he goes into midfield or acts as backup. So that's the way I'd like to see it play out. And as you say, hopefully that's the case with Roland's thinking as well.
Right, it's time to start looking ahead now to Saturday's trip up to the Crown Ground, the first ever league meeting between Charlton and Accrington Stanley. Of course, we like to try and get a view from the opponent's side. So I spoke to Dan Jewell, who's at the BBC Radio Lancashire, on obviously this is Accrington's first ever season in League One, so I'm guessing it's pretty much the highlight of their existence so far.
Since the club's reformation in 1968, it's been an upward trajectory, and this is the high point, the pinnacle so far. The old club that supporters of an older vintage that may remember went bust in the early 60s did have a spell playing in the third tier in the 1950s, but obviously a different club and a very different league structure. And it's very much a case these days of the new club that was built by the fans from literally right from the bottom, and the supporters would build the stadium themselves with waste and unwanted materials from building sites and stuff. they've brought the club all the way through non-league and into the Football League, and now, as you rightly say, League Two champions and setting off on this adventure in League One.
Yeah, I guess it's very much a fairy tale story, really. And obviously, you know, Accrington had that sort of jokey reputation from that famous advert back in the day. But I think it feels like it's a club that has sort of caught the hearts of a lot of the football world, really.
Yeah, I think the secret has been that they've embraced this reputation that they've got, rightly or wrongly, for being rubbish. The milk advert and all those kind of things, and obviously being a non-league team and being a byword for football in failure, that feeling of the club's demise from the early 60s, even though a lot of people these days don't remember it because they weren't around, they've kind of heard about it. Accrington Stanley, they were that club that went bust and pulled out halfway through a season and had their results expunged and all these kind of things. But being a little bit of a butt of the joke and being a little bit of a punchline, quite a lot has worked in the club's favour, actually, because people look upon them fondly. If you go away somewhere on holiday abroad and you say you're from Accrington, even if people aren't football fans, they say, oh, Accrington Stanley, I know them, they're a football team. And it's kind of worked as a currency for them over the years. And only now, really, I think, is it starting to become a bit of an albatross around the neck, because they are a successful club. They are doing very well. They've brought in really good money in the last transfer window, which is transforming the club. And the owner and the manager and the people behind the scenes are looking to put themselves forward and put the club forward as a bit more forward-thinking and a bit more 21st century. But I don't think that notion of being people's second club or being looked upon fondly is something that they should be looking to try and get rid of, because it can be massively beneficial to them.
Mm. Now, how have they taken to life in League One? I know that obviously they lost their opening game at Gillingham, but they went and got a great win at Bristol Rovers last week. We won't talk too much about the League Cup game, because then we'll have to think about Charlton's performance in that as well. So have they taken to League One so far?
It's been relatively encouraging. I mean, yeah, I smile as you talk about the League Cup, because I think the early rounds of the League Cup have become a bit like the EFL Trophy these days, where teams just get changed and it's potluck as to how things go. But in terms of the league games, I spoke to Sean McConville, who's one of Accrington's senior players, the left winger, after the win at Bristol Rovers at the weekend, and he summed it up really, really well. They were League Two champions. They had an unbelievable home record. They hadn't lost at home in 2018 before that game against Gillingham, and they'd won something like 12 out of the 13 home games that they played in that period. But the transfer window was still open. They just sold one of their important players, January Danasian. There was so much speculation around Caden Jackson, the talismanic centre-forward, and Ipswich, were they going to buy him? Was he going to go? And they didn't turn up in that first game against Gillingham. It was as simple as that. They were very poor, very much below par, and probably didn't really start playing until they were 2-0 down for a half an hour period in the second half. What Sean McConville said after the Bristol Rovers game was, all that speculation, all those rumours affected the one thing that Accrington have and have always had under John Coleman, and that's a togetherness and a dressing room dynamic that drives them forward. And although they don't have the resources, and you could argue that they don't necessarily have the players or the talents that a lot of other clubs do, what they do have is this spirit and this togetherness. That was affected against Gillingham, and they were very poor and they lost the game. Once the Jackson situation was resolved, they patted him on the back, wished him well off. He went to Ipswich, and they were terrific at Bristol Rovers and scored after 6 minutes and quietened a crowd, which is usually pretty vociferous. And they went on to give a very Accrington under John Coleman performance, and in the end, deservedly score in the 90th minute to win it by 2-1. So we've seen both sides of what could happen for Accrington this season. I think the million-dollar question for supporters is whether or not they can get the good side of it more often than the bad.
Mm. I mean, tell us about John Coleman. He's been there for 4 years now, and obviously he's overseen this rise to League One. So I imagine he's a fairly popular character up there in Accrington.
Yeah, that would possibly go down as understatement of the century. This is his second spell with the club. He's been back 4 years, but his first spell with the club saw him take over when they had just suffered their first and as yet and to date only relegation, when they were relegated from the Unibond Premier Division to the Unibond First Division back in 1999. And his remit was, you've got to get us promoted, which he did. And he's had three more promotions since. He was with the club until 2012, when, having got them into the Football League and various other achievements, FA Cup runs, those kind of things, he went to have a crack at League One to become Rochdale manager, and was subsequently relegated and then sacked. He had a spell in Irish football, he had a spell in non-league football with Southport, and then came back. The way we put it up here is it's like he's had a software upgrade. He's gone from being John Coleman to John Coleman 2.0. All of the good footballing things that were there before are still there. This amazing togetherness, an up-and-at-them kind of style, very much an attack-minded manager. Doesn't care particularly if he wins 1-0 or 5-4, as long as he wins. But this time around, there's a bit more maturity. There's a little bit more calculation, a little bit more sort of thought goes into things. I think it's helped that he's a slightly older man, of course. He's got grandkids now. That's settled him a little bit. And as an example, you mentioned the League Cup the other night. They got absolutely hammered by Mansfield 6-1. And in his first spell with the club, he would have come out and ranted and raved and dug his players out and been absolutely furious. He was massively magnanimous and came out and said, look, I'm not happy with a couple of decisions that have happened. We've made mistakes, but I've got to give Mansfield credit. They were brilliant, and then emphasised how good Mansfield are. I think he's learnt a lot from that experience of managing in League One with Rochdale and it not going well for him. It's a big step up for him as well, but I think he's much more ready for it this time round.
So what are the expectations for Stanley this season? Is it just staying safe in League One, or are they looking up?
Well, famously, Coleman, on the first day of pre-season training, every pre-season that he's taken with Accrington, gives the players a speech. And usually it is, if you lot don't want to win this division, then go home now. And quite a lot that leads to raised eyebrows and guffawing and schoolboy humour. But of course, last year he gave the speech and they went and won the league, having been third or fourth favourites for relegation. They are now back to their usual position of being bookmakers' favourites for relegation. So that would suggest that maybe they're eyeing 50 points to begin with. But Coleman doesn't really think like that. He doesn't really go, right, let's get 50 points and then see where we go from there. I think he'll be quietly confident that they can get themselves in and among the established teams in the division. I don't think necessarily that means a top half finish or a push for the playoffs or anything like that at this stage. I think if he can avoid losing any more of his key players, having lost a couple in the last transfer window, then he might be looking at, yeah, we'll tick off these milestones, 50 points, mid-table, and see where we are in the season. I could see them finishing in the top half. If they can get everything right, then they could be surprise contenders. But equally, as we touched upon with the performance against Gillingham on the opening day, if there are too many of those off days, then I think they will need to concentrate on making sure they're in League One next season. The bookies, of course, have already written them off and they're very, very strong favourites to go down. But again, I think that probably plays into their hands more than anything.
So finally, it's not a first meeting between the clubs if we're looking at both incarnations, because Charlton did actually play Accrington in a FA Cup tie back in the 20s, but it's a first ever league meeting between the two sides on Saturday. I mean, who are the danger men that the Addicts should be wary of? I mean, I know Billy Key got quite a lot of goals last season. Is he going to be the most dangerous man?
Yeah, well, Billy Key is the focal point of the team. He's achieved a level of fame that is unusual for an Accrington player because of his goal-scoring exploits and also what's happened off the pitch, and him very bravely coming out and talking about his fight with depression. He is very much the man who leads the line and the talisman. The key for Accrington now is to find a new partner for him after Caden Jackson went to Ipswich. There are 1.65 million reasons to be happy about that sale. It's a club record fee, a massive club record fee, and that amount of money will bankroll all the changes that Accrington want to make to the stadium and training grounds and various other things. If you're looking at threats to Charlton, then look in the wide areas. I mentioned Sean McConville earlier on. He's a right-footed left midfielder, very creative, takes set pieces, orchestrates things, doesn't mind a bit of needle. He'll be the one who'll be going down and making sure he gets a free kick and winding people up. And on the evidence of the start of the season so far, the other flank, which is occupied by Jordan Clark, who's one of the few players in the Accrington team who does have some experience of playing in League One. He's previously been at Shrewsbury and Barnsley. He's made a very strong start to the season, very direct, diminutive, pacey winger who likes to get himself into goal-scoring positions and provides more than his fair share of assists as well. You touch on being a first meeting, realistically between these two teams. I certainly think the Charlton fans will A, have a slight shock in terms of culture and the way that the football ground looks and the facilities, but I also think they'll have a fantastic day because it is renowned for being one of the most welcoming places, old school football, right on top of the pitch, standing on an open terrace, and the vast majority of first time visitors absolutely love it.
So there we go. That was Dan Jewell from BBC Radio Lancashire there. It was great to speak to him. And he's a little bit at the end there. Got me really excited to go to Accrington Stanley. It's just one of those, you know, famous names in football for various reasons. Obviously, the milk advert that we touched upon there. But yeah, I'm really excited to go to a new ground as well.
Yeah, I'm really gutted.
Oh, actually, I was looking at the ground earlier and said to you just before the show, it's funny that 2 weeks ago we were playing against Sunderland, Premier League ground up until 2 years ago, and in name really a Premier League ground anyway, much like the Valley, you know, 35, 40,000 people. And then you come to 2 weeks later and we're playing at a ground that gets about 2,000 through the door, stands probably no taller than us.
Only three stands at the moment as well. Yeah, they're having another one rebuilt.
Yeah, and an open terrace at the end for the away fans. So, yeah, it's going to be very, very different, but we've kind of got used to that at this level now. You can go to those kind of grounds and, yeah, it's a chance for fans to tick off a new ground. And as he says, they shouldn't be underestimated because they obviously got beaten by Gillingham at the first weekend, who have then gone on to win their second game as well. But then they beat Bristol at the weekend. And kind of similar to us, obviously got pegged back to 1-1 and they managed to nick it at the end. So they'll take a lot of encouragement from that, I think, because as the guy said there, they're expected, as far as the bookies are concerned, to go straight back down. So they'll be pleased with any win they can get, and they're not going to be a rollover, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting he talked about width as well being quite good for Accrington, because, you know, if we play 3-5-2, then we'll have the wing backs, but that's only one each on the side. And then if we play a 4-2 in the diamond, which sometimes we deploy as well, then you don't have much width as well. So it'd just be interesting to see how Lee Bowyer tries to counteract that as well, or, you know, or do we go and try and be the team that make things happen? I guess when you're playing, I mean, you know, Charlton see themselves as a big boy in the division, but we know exactly what the size of the squad is at the moment and the situation in the squad. So
I would think he'll set up to combat the way they play. In terms of formation, and then I think within that formation he'll then say out to go out and express ourselves and impose our game on them. I think probably if you look at it as a layman, I think the 4-4-2 probably helps to combat that width, but I do think he'll probably stick to the three at the back and use the width, and as I say, try and impose our game on them. I think our defence are more than capable, and if they're just playing a lot of the threat coming from the width, then those central defenders can afford to maybe go out and support as well. So, yeah, personally, I can see him sticking with the wing backs and the three at the back. But again, Bowyer's shown that he's not afraid to try different things. He'll have studied them this week. He'll have looked at those two games and probably the League Cup game as well. So he'll have an idea of how they play, and he'll decide the best way to combat that. And if it's not working, I'm sure he won't be afraid to change it up.
Yeah, of course. For Accrington, Billy Key, as we mentioned during the interview there, 25-plus goals last season. McConville got both their goals down at Bristol Rovers, though, last week. Right, let's have a listen to Lee Bowyer as well, looking ahead to the game. This is his thoughts ahead of the trip to the Crown Ground.
You brought several in for the Milton Keynes game on Tuesday. Could they feature Accrington, any of those?
What, the seven that started against MK? No, they won't feature. We'll probably go back to near on the starting 11 that started on the Saturday, because like you see, we can't even fill the bench, so we ain't got much to mess about with. So there ain't no obvious changes that we can make. The squad is what it is at the moment, but obviously now we've added Christian to that, so whether he starts or he's on the bench, it's another good player to have around. This for the lads that started. Obviously you've got a couple of senior lads in there, but the younger lads, no, they won't be starting that.
Now you're at Accrington on Saturday, playing at the Wham Stadium. Is that a ground new to you? Have you ever played there before?
I've never played there, no. I can't say I've ever played there, but doesn't matter. It's still a football pitch at the end of the day. It doesn't matter what the ground's like, the stadium's like, the fans are like. None of that's important. It's still a football pitch, and whoever moves the ball best and competes best and earns the right, and normally they're the teams that win no matter what football pitch you play on.
Absolutely. We've mentioned about playing at the Wanton Stadium this weekend. Accrington Stanley as a team, what are you expecting from them? What kind of challenge do you think they'll face?
I think they're well organised. They know their jobs, in and out of possession. They're a hard working team from front to back. Two strikers work hard, midfielders work hard. They look to play when they can. And they're not a bad side. I think their front four are good. Two good midfielders that are honest and so that can play. It's going to be a difficult game. I said to the lads today, like, we've done a bit of stuff on them today, and we'll definitely go there and respect to them for sure, because what their manager's done with the budget he had last year is excellent. So they've it's going to be a tough test for us.
They were beaten heavily on Tuesday night. Does that make it a good time to face them this weekend? Or
I'm guessing he would have done the same as what I've done. I'm guessing. I don't know for sure, but from that scoreline, I know that weren't their full side, because that they don't concede six. So that doesn't mean nothing.
So there we go. But you're certainly not going to pay too much attention to the fact that Accrington got beat 6-1 on Tuesday night, and I certainly won't be either then. So looking at the Charlton team, I think Bayer's sort of saying he's more than likely going to pretty much go back to what we started with against Shrewsbury. That seemed like the right thing to do.
I think so, yeah. As I say, I think those players deserve their chance to do so again, because, okay, it wasn't a blistering performance last weekend, but I thought they did well to come out of it and get the win at the end, particularly having been pegged back so late on. So yeah, I think that's right. I think we can take that formation there and impose ourselves on them. I thought Lapsley and Aribo were a bit more creative when they were both in the middle as well. Obviously, we've got Billick as well, who, as I said earlier, I think will probably start on the bench. So I think we've got quite a decent little side there, and I wouldn't expect any change from that.
And do you think we'll start off with the 3-5-2 again? Because then we switched it up on Saturday, and then we improved with the 3-5-2. So are you expecting that?
Yeah, I think we will. I don't think Morgan will play necessarily. So I think, as I said earlier, I think either you play Solly out on the right and Billick starts. But I think more likely is that we'll play Marshall out wide, and then we'll have Solly as part of a back three, probably. But I don't think there'll be too much change anyway.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the two up top in Lyle Taylor and Carlin Grant have started the season really well. And so you expect them to... They'll be looking at a team like, you know, they've conceded three goals so far this season, same as us. You'll be thinking, right, this is a chance really to try and get a couple more after they conceded a few in the week as well, I guess.
Yeah, I would think so. And I mean, for us, you're looking at those two. Taylor obviously 2-2, Grant got 1-2. There are goals in our team for sure, considering it's still fairly depleted. I think we need to be careful at the back, because you're right, we have conceded three goals in two games as well. Obviously they shipped a lot of the weekend, so we'll be hoping we can take advantage of perhaps their defensive lapses, but we need to be careful there as well, because a lot of our good results, particularly towards the end of last season, were built on a solid defence. I know we missed Pierce at the weekend, and I know we had a second string out, not even second string, out on Tuesday, but that's important. We'll see how much that shores up, obviously, with Billick coming in and putting pressure on the defence, but also with Jed Steer coming in now and putting pressure on Dills. Be interesting to see if those players can step up and actually improve a little bit.
And of course, like the likes of like Albie, for example, Albie Morgan come on Saturday, and he was part of that change. You know, he was, you know, on the ball, and I thought he did the same on Tuesday at times, on the ball, always seems to be in a little bit of space, looking to try and move the ball around. You know, I mean, he will be now considered an option from the bench. Obviously, we're going to think about not wanting to overplay him, which is always a risk of youngsters, but it's certainly just something slightly different for us if we are struggling perhaps in the middle of the park.
100%. I don't think he'll start. I don't think that's any discredit to him at all. I think he's worthy of a start, but I just don't think Bowyer will risk throwing him in, because I don't think that's actually fair on him. But as I said before, you look around on the bench, if you've got someone like Nicky Ajoze there, who's gone to MK Dons and been one of the most experienced players on the pitch and not really delivered, or you look at Albie Morgan, who came on wouldn't say single-handedly changed the game, but played a big part in changing the game, and obviously assisted, or partly assisted, the winner at the weekend, and then came on again on Tuesday and looked good. You look at those two players, it should be a no-brainer, and it should be a Jose who's coming on, but I think that they're different positions, I understand that, but I think if you're looking at changing the game, Boya's going to look at Morgan and think, well, he hasn't really let me down so far, so why not use him again? So as I say, I don't think he should start, but as I say, that's not down to his ability or anything like that, but I would like to see him come off the bench if needed.
And of course, looking ahead, Boya's going to have to sort of have at the back of his mind as well that Tuesday we're playing at home here at the Valley against Peterborough, and that's not going to be an easy game by any stretch of imagination. So throughout the game, he's going to be thinking about who needs resting and who's going to come on and play some minutes. But he's going to have at the back of his mind, also, I've got another game 3 days later.
Yeah, and I think you're looking at Peterborough. I mean, obviously, Sunderland are heavy favourites for the league. They've got loads of talent. They've got their big ground. They're a big club. But I think you look at Peterborough and the way they've started and the signings they've made, they're probably going to be an even tougher test than Sunderland were. So that's going to be a huge game. I don't think he's going to think too much about that now, because if we get the 3 points at Accrington, then we'll deal with Peterborough when it comes. But if you plan too much for Peterborough and then you lose at Accrington, well, there's no guarantee you're going to beat Peterborough either. So, yeah, we just need to focus one game at a time, and Boya's been pretty good at doing that.
Right, Nate's not here, so your prediction is also going to make Jacko's jackpot. We're going to get him to put it on. So how do you see it going on Saturday?
I can see us winning. I'm going to say 3-0 Charlton.
Excellent. I'll take that. You got a first goal scorer, or are you just going to bet on that 3-0?
No, I'll have a goal scorer. We'll go Carlin.
Carlin.
Yeah, Carlin 3-0.
Bagging another one in the back of the net. Right, this is just about run out of time here on Charlton Live, the big match preview. Thanks to those of you who've listened all the way through. Tom, thanks for coming down to the Valley. I've been Louis Mendez. We'll be back here on Sunday evening on Maritime Radio to look back at whatever happens against Accrington Stanley. Hopefully it'll be 3 points in the first ever league meeting between the two sides. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Sunday.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.